I think we all kind of know what it means to get excited. And we saw it with the little kids just before, when some of them were showing us how they might get excited and the big eyes and the waving and so forth. But I think we can picture it as well when someone special arrives. It might look, a little if this works, a little bit like this. There we go. There's people dancing, there's people jumping up and down and waving their arms, and there's stuff coming from the ceiling. And if you do look closely, you can see that that is in fact a Wiggles concert. So even the very littlest people know what it means to get excited when someone special arrives. Now, there's probably some bigger kids here, some teenagers who are thinking, I can't believe that they used the Wiggles in the example. Well, don't worry, the same year, One Direction also came out. And you can see they're all crammed in there getting a selfie and squealing and crying and all sorts of things. And there's the boys themselves just lapping it up and waving. Now, there are probably some grown-ups here, some parents who are thinking, well, I'm just so embarrassed that kids would do that. Well, actually, just think back a little bit and you can remember that's Swanston Street in Melbourne when ABBA arrived, and there's people crammed in there as well, and the trams had to stop and the cars couldn't get through and all that sort of stuff. And there's grandparents here who are thinking, well, not in my day. Well, bad luck. Sorry. The Beatles came out in 1964. That's also at Southern Cross Hotel. I really like, if you look, these guys here climb the tree, very Zacchaeus of them to get up there. But we all know that Jesus is even bigger than the Beatles and more popular than John Lennon. And he'd done a lot more than just write a catchy song for people to get excited. In fact, the Bible reading tells us why people got excited when Jesus first entered in to town and was met by all those people. And it says that in chapter 19, verse 37, it says, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Now, Jesus had been heading towards Jerusalem for quite some time. And I've got Jerusalem here. It's a sort of scale model of Jerusalem. And I'll put it over here. Now, in chapter 9, verse 51, it actually says that Jesus resolutely set off towards Jerusalem, and he did a number of things as he went. So he's walking towards Jerusalem. In chapter 11, he drives out a demon. In chapter 13, he heals a crippled woman. Goes a bit further. In chapter 14, he heals a man of dropsy. Then he tells a whole lot of really great parables, the lost son and the lost sheep and the lost coin. By chapter 17, he heals 10 lepers, of which one comes back to thank him. You can see a picture of what that might have looked like on the screen. By chapter 18, he heals a blind beggar. And by the time they get to chapter 19, they're in Jericho, which is very close, and Zacchaeus has to climb a tree because the crowds are so big by then that he just needs to climb a tree in order to even see Jesus. So the people are starting to get it right. They are welcoming Jesus in a really great way. And they've said all sorts of stuff, such as, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest. These are the ones from our reading today, and there's a whole lot more in all the other Gospels. You'll see Hosanna and Hosanna to the Son of David. Lots of things they yelled out. The people were getting it right. Because the miracles that we saw were a great indication of who Jesus was. Not only that, that he was also riding on a donkey. And for those who knew the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, they would have remembered in Zechariah 9:9, when Jesus entered, it says this, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So to people watching, they would have known about the miracles and seen all that was happening. They also would have seen Jesus coming in and had this in their heads, thinking, here is the Messiah. So they got it right. They did cry out and say great things. And it was so right that, in fact, even the stones would have cried out if they had been asked to stop, to cry praises to God as well. The stones, we all know about stones. Stones are...
Enough. Thank you. Go on. Get. Thank you. Okay. Ross is quite determined that they got it right. But did they really? Let's just think about this for a second. These same people of Jerusalem, just 5 days later, were standing in front of Pontius Pilate shouting, crucify him, crucify him. I don't think they got it right at all. I think they totally missed that this was God that they had in their presence. Now, the reasons that they missed that would be fairly complex, I think, chief of which would be that it was, of course, God's will. it was God's intention and plan. And the other side of it was that Jesus was not exactly what they were expecting. Okay, so yes, the people were expecting the Messiah. The people were expecting to see their king come riding victorious into town. But were they not expecting a political king, a leader who was going to come in and be overthrowing those Romans and be chasing the Romans out of Jerusalem? A victory march like this was very common in the times. The Roman emperors and leaders often came into town in wonderful victory celebrations. We saw some of that chatted about in the Stax program. And have a look at this picture. It's a recreation. You can see the palm fronds there. This was a political statement of victory. Sure, they might not have expected him riding in a stolen donkey, but that's another story. So Jesus did do overthrowing, and Jesus did do chasing out, but it was overthrowing of tables in the temple, and it was chasing out of the traders and the money changers from the temple. Jesus was fighting for God. He was fighting for holiness. He was fighting for the glory of the Lord. He wasn't fighting for some Jewish rebellion that was expected of him. The other way that Jesus would have been counter to their expectations was that rather than working with the Jewish leaders of the time, he was quite overtly and quite harshly opposed to some of what was going on. This was a quote from Matthew when he talks about the Pharisees. You ignore God's commands in order to follow your own teaching, and you are nothing but show-offs. Isaiah the prophet was right when he wrote that what God had said. All of you praise me with your words, but you never really think about me. It is useless for you to worship me when you teach rules made up by humans. These people were the most respected part of Jewish society. Everybody looked up to them. And Jesus was calling them hypocrites. He challenged their authority. He challenged their teaching. That would have been highly controversial, and he would have been seen as an upstart and a trouble causer. Another problem was that he did call himself the Son of God because that's who he was. And people didn't like that either. They said he was blaspheming. He was taking God's name in vain. And Jesus himself had to defend himself. In John, we see, so why do you accuse me of this terrible sin of saying that I am the Son of God? After all, it is the Father who prepared me for this work. He is the one who sent me into the world. People didn't want to know about that. They didn't want to know about a human being calling themselves God. So did they get it right? I'm not so sure that they did. But then, still today, we sometimes don't get it so right, do we? Sometimes our image of God is not exactly what God is. All too often, what we want is a genie in a magic lamp to come out and grant all of our wishes, or maybe a fairy godmother to fix our problems, make them all go away. Some of us even like to think of God as some sort of a lucky charm. Having him around will just keep us safe. But we should know that Jesus is so much more than that. And God had a plan. God had an amazing plan. He was going to have the ultimate victory over sin and death and salvation. But that was still a little way down the road. That was a plan that would happen 7 days from now. So, a lot of those Jewish people would have thought of Jesus just like the Beatles and ABBA and One Direction and, yes, even the Wiggles, a fad, a fashion, something that was having its moment in the spotlight and pretty soon would fade into history and be forgotten. God's plan was the plan that we were waiting for. God's plan would be fulfilled in just 7 days' time. So right now, what I'd like to do is take a little trip back in time and have a look at what it might have looked like if two people of the time were having a conversation on that very first Holy Week in Jerusalem.
Well, I think when Jesus did enter Jerusalem, I think the people did get it right. I think we are supposed to worship Jesus that way, and I think Nicole agrees with me on that, really. And Nicole is right, though, that when he entered, people did have different expectations of who he was and a different understanding of who Jesus was. They didn't really know that he was God, and they didn't really know what God's plan was for them. It's great for us that we every Sunday get to come together and we can worship God a bit like Palm Sunday as well. We can sing and quite freely worship and openly worship him. But we need to be very careful that during the week we don't go and forget about him, because we live in a world where people don't have the right expectation of who Jesus is as well. They don't really understand that he's God either. And it's very easy for us to fall into the trap, I think, of being like the people in Jerusalem who praise with their lips but then forget, like it said in Matthew chapter 15. And that's a real challenge for us. So I get very encouraged when I think of this story, but I get encouraged not just because it's an old story, but because of things that are to come as well. So when you look forward into the end of the Bible, you see in the book of Revelation where John, a friend of Jesus, is given a vision of what heaven will look like. It says this in chapter 7. There we go. After this, I, that is John, looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, meaning Jesus. And they were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And they worship him a little bit, and they go on and they say this as well, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Sounds a bit familiar, doesn't it? It's very much like what happened on Palm Sunday. And it's a great reminder that this isn't an old story we're looking at, but it's a current story, a story that continues on even now, and we're part of, and we are supposed to worship Jesus that way. So maybe you're encouraged by that too. Maybe you're encouraged by Easter and Jesus' resurrection, as the people in the skit were talking about, that Jesus was to rise again. Maybe you're encouraged by that, and you can take that out with you into the week too, and remember to worship God and not forget about him. Or maybe you're encouraged by the miracles that were performed and the way he fulfilled the Old Testament scriptures. But I challenge you to keep remembering Jesus all week for who he really is, and not to get caught in the trap of having a misunderstanding of who he is. I'm going to pray for us now, and then I think we're going to sing again. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to come together and praise you. We thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for Palm Sunday. We thank you that he came and that the people did worship him. We recognize that that's going to happen again one day, that we'll be part of a great multitude of people who will be praising him. Help us to do that now. Help us to do that here in this building, in this place, but to keep praising in the many ways we can do that through the week as well. We look forward to Easter and to celebrating what Jesus achieved on the cross and then his resurrection from the dead at Easter. And we look forward to that, and we just pray that that will also be something that we can take great heart from and encouragement from. So I just pray that you'll be with us in Jesus' name.